Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome today's program Andrew Kirkwood, who is Senior VP of Sales, Global 3PL, and Supply Chain Execution at JDA Software. And today we're going to talk about defining success for 3PLs in a changing supply chain world. Now, we all know that we live in a very dynamic, supply chain and logistics environment today, and for many companies, the logistics service providers are at the heart of that. More and more companies are working with logistics service providers to handle critical parts of their supply chains. And so a lot of the expectations, a lot of the requirements are falling on the shoulders of 3PLs, if you will. So then the question becomes, how are they responding? How are these trends like, omnichannel and Internet of Things and all the regulations and so on and so forth? How are 3PLs responding to this? What capabilities are they going to need to be successful moving forward and to meet the requirements of their clients? So very grateful to have with us Andrew today, who's kind of in the front lines of this at JDA, working with many 3PL customers and having conversations with them. So it's going to be great to get his perspective on this topic. Just want to remind those of you that are joining us live today that, part of our goal here at Talking Logistics is to make this conversational. So if you do have a question for Andrew as we're having our conversation here, you can do so via the submit a question button or via the chat feature, and I'll keep an eye on it. If it's a good and appropriate question and we have time, I'll weave it into the conversation. So with that, Andrew, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Well, Andrew, as a first-time guest, I always like to ask, folks that come on the program, just try to get a little bit of understanding how they, how and why they even got involved in supply chain logistics to begin with. So why don't you briefly tell us a little bit about your career path, how and why you got involved with supply chain and kind of what your current role and responsibilities are there at JDA?
Sure. I've really been in logistics since the beginning of my career. Part of my dissertation was on comparing transport and logistics between the US and the UK way back in the early 90s. So since then, my career has moved from the client side, working for people like Chet Pallets. I've been in automotive, I've been in automation, and then, really ended up in logistics software, firstly with a company called Dallas Systems, which eventually is part of now the Info business. And for the last 12, 13 years, I've been with formerly Red Prairie, which obviously merged with JDA in early 2013.
Great, great background there. Certainly, a lot has changed since you started and you did that dissertation, I'm sure, just in the industry as a whole and even on the technology side. So it's great to they bring that kind of, multi-decade experience. I'm sure it must be fun and interesting for you to kind of see how far things have come.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the only thing that's stayed the same is that the distribution centers still are four sides rectangular with a flat roof. Other than that, I think it's pretty different.
That's right. That's right. That's a great point. That's a great point. So let's talk about, the topic at hand. I mean, obviously, like I said in my intro, in your role there at JDA, I mean, you get to interact with a lot of 3PLs. I mean, how would you characterize the state of the industry today and kind of what new challenges and opportunities are our service providers facing?
Well, I think we know that supply chains are going through some really dynamic change. And that's caused primarily if you're in the consumer industry by, I guess, what I'd call the omnification of supply chains. We know the digital commerce market is very rapidly creating complexities in supply chain. And that creates opportunities for logistics companies because the customers or their customers have got increasingly complex challenges and they want to focus on selling things. And so logistics service providers can produce solutions that can help them through that complex web and allows them to create differentiation, add value, and for them to improve margins. And on the let's call it the supply side, we're also seeing a lot of changes, increasing globalization, postponement opportunities, those sorts of things that, again, create opportunity for logistics providers to expand their scope of supply with their customers and create differentiation and innovation at the same time.
Yeah, no, I see similar things. The other thing that I see, and I'd be interested in getting your perspective, is you hear so often how one of the challenges that a lot of manufacturers, retailers, the customers of 3PLs that they're facing is trying to keep up with the rapid pace of change, right? Because you and I as consumers, we're putting pressures on the retailers as an example, and even in the B2B realm, there's a lot of global competition. There's a lot of movement in terms of putting the customer at the center of their supply chain universe, so on and so forth. And so that's creating this pressure really to be more dynamic and more flexible and being able to change more quickly. And of course, that pressure now is being put on the 3PLs because now, since the 3PLs are now in charge of or have the responsibility to manage a lot of these operations on behalf of their clients. Kind of the pressure is going from the consumer straight through the retailer or manufacturer right down to the 3PL shoulders. I mean, do you see that this need to be more flexible and agile kind of falling on the shoulders of 3PLs?
Absolutely. Agility is the word I would use. But it creates opportunity as well, because that complexity is helping them create unique offerings that allow them to develop a high margin business. We all know it's tough for logistics providers to make margin. And I think if you look at the contract logistics market, they still believe around 73% of the market is still insourced. So there's a lot of business to be going after. And those companies that can take advantage of the 73%, rather than fighting for winning contracts off competitors, I think they're going to be the real successful organizations in terms of 3PLs.
That's a great point and observation there. Now, when you talk about these opportunities as well as the challenges, I mean, how do they differ? Do they differ across geographic regions? Do they differ whether you're the very largest of 3PLs versus those that might be a little bit smaller? How do these challenge opportunities differ by region and by size of 3PL?
There's a lot of questions in that one question. So yes, absolutely. Region dictates certain differences, size. So if we take the large organizations, we're seeing a lot of consolidation at the moment. Whether you look at XPO, FedEx, DSV, all making acquisitions for businesses outside of that market. And there's a reason for that, I think. And the reason is that their customers are looking for as much as possible a single supplier to manage their logistics operations. So as companies become increasingly global or international, they're looking for their partners to do that. And I think so that's where you're seeing some of these larger companies consolidate, buy operations in markets to grow their relationship with their existing customers and provide a much fuller service. So I think we're seeing a lot of that. I think for the smaller providers, they are focusing a lot more on niche solutions. So, a customer like ours in the United Kingdom called Clipper Logistics have developed their Boomerang solution, which is all around returns management for e-commerce. And they're smaller, they're more nimble, so they're all about agility. So I think, you're seeing some of that. And then, clearly China from Southern Africa to America have got very different requirements, and so it's bringing some of that knowledge base, into those markets. And I think what we're seeing is some of the developing markets, one of the opportunities for the logistics providers is to do more than just what I would call trucks and DCs, because they don't know how to do demand planning so well. They don't know how to manage inventory and optimize and know where to put the warehouse that they're required to supply their customers. So they can bring some real expertise into the area and grow to be more than just a traditional, 3PL, as I would call it. So I think there's a whole range of things that create opportunity for the logistics service providers. And I think if you look at the big guys, what they've got to do is focus on, the verticals they're in, how do they differentiate and how do they deal with very special, nimble, let's call it best of breed providers that tend to operate in a specific space, such as chill distribution or, line side manufacturing, whatever it is.
Yeah, you touched upon something that I had. I think you kind of, to paraphrase a little bit of what you said, I think kind of aligns with something that I wrote, at the end of last year, where I talked about the 3PL industry becoming barbell shaped. So at the one end, you've got 3PL is becoming larger, and the name of the game there is kind of scale in response to companies that customers that want providers that can support them in multiple geographic regions, that can support them on a much broader scale. So that's one end of the barbell, kind of large, getting larger, broader scale, more services, more geographic regions. And then at the other end of the barbell is kind of the smaller, more niche oriented 3PLs, really focusing and going deep on a very specific area of supply chain management and logistics, and really providing kind of best in class service, differentiated service there. And then the question then became, well, what happens if you're in the middle, right? And I made the argument that if you're in the middle, it's a tough place to be now, right? Because it's going to be hard for you to kind of differentiate yourself, and more than likely, the C word is going to come in, meaning you're going to be looked at as a commodity. Did you agree with that kind of view of the market, kind of that barbell shape taking shape, kind of view?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a reflection of, let's say, retail or manufacturing. If you look at retail specifically, we've got the huge Amazons, the Krogers, etc. at the top end, and then you have these much smaller players that are, fashion conscious or whatever. They've got their niche and they're very successful. And we've seen a lot of the mid-market retailers, frankly, go bust. They just were falling in the middle. And I think, in logistics, it's a similar scenario, and it's just mirroring, what's happening elsewhere in the market.
Yeah, no, I that's an interesting point in terms of making that analogy with the retailers. I often make the analogy even with software and technology companies. I think you're seeing a similar effect there as well, on the in the technology space. So talking of technology, let's kind of focus in on that now. I mean, historically, many 3PLs have developed their own kind of proprietary solutions. Are you seeing, a shift away from that kind of strategy? And what fact, if so, what factors are driving it?
Well, I think it's really going back to some of the comments that we were just talking about. I mean, yes, we are seeing a trend. Actually, the growth in the logistics business within my company, JDA, has been significant the past few years, and that can only be, I guess, as a result of increased demand. I'd like to think it's also because we've focused on it and have a dedicated business. But the reality is, companies are focusing on what they're good at, and I would argue a logistics company is good at, being asset light, managing, products through a supply chain, ensuring, good truckloads, ensuring that they've got the right people in the right place. What they're not so good at is building software, and that's what companies such as JDA can do. So, with the changes happening so quickly, it's very difficult for a logistics company with a small development team to kind of keep up with all of those changes. We invest a significant portion in R&D, and that is driven by a lot of the customers of the 3PLs, because obviously we service the retailers, the manufacturers. So a lot of the capability we're building has real value for them. And I think, as well as that, technology's changed. It's easier to configure, it's easier to build templates that match specific requirements for a vertical. And actually, what we do is we work with our customers so that they can build their own, I'm going to call it tailored JDA solution that's specific to them, using some of their own, I wouldn't use the word intellectual property, but being able to configure the system in a way that can help them differentiate. And I think that's what's important, is that whilst many companies use the same system, it's what you do with it. Much like a fax, we used to use faxes way back when, but they were used very differently. So, that's kind of the mantra we have.
Yeah, it's that last point. It reminds me of, and I think it was at JDA Focus last year. I can't recall if it was at that conference or not, but I believe it was the president of Genco made the comment of, you can give me a Stradivarius violin, or you can give me a violin from Walmart, and I'll play them equally bad, and so it's not le it's less about the specific tool, or in this case software. It's in how you use it that really, translate into the differentiator. So I think that's a little bit of what you said there as
Exactly.
well.
That's probably a much better analogy than me, but than I use. But there are many, solutions that companies can use out there, and we're just one of them. But I think it's about helping and partnering with the logistics provider to help them build a service offering that can create differentiation and build value for their customer. And if they can do that, then they will create a much tighter relationship, a longer relationship, to the degree that we recently collaborated with a logistics provider, and they won a 13-year contract with the company involved, which is, you know, almost unheard of. But that requires, you know, real you know, close relationship, you know, built over many years in order to achieve that. So, you know, that's our goal, is to help them be more successful. And if they are, we are as well.
Yeah, that's a great point, because I mean, for a long time, you know, I work with a lot of logistics service providers as well. And I think part of the challenge is, well, there's multiple challenges in the industry. I mean, a lot of times the end customer has only viewed them from a very limited perspective, right? Like you talked about, just, you know, transportation management, warehouse management. And of course, you know, more sophisticated logistics service providers want to be viewed more as a supply chain partner, right? And be able to provide a much broader value proposition, a set of services, so on and so forth. The challenge I think that many 3PLs have is that, I guess to put it bluntly, they didn't have the level of sophistication internally from a sales standpoint, from a marketing standpoint, from a relationship standpoint, to really position themselves that way effectively. And are you seeing, you know, part of kind of the role that a company like JDA can provide to logistics service providers, kind of help in terms of helping to position that business case, position that value proposition, obviously with your, with technology being an enabler ultimately, to help 3PLs win those types of broader deals and you know, position themselves in a more strategic role to prospective customers?
Absolutely. I see that as fundamental to our business model and working in a very collaborative way with our customers. You know, our business is end-to-end supply chain in terms of the solutions we provide. And, you know, I can tell you, you know, we are working closely with our customers in the logistics space to help them move into new markets, develop new areas that they can work in, using our experience in whether it be planning or sequencing or S&OP, whatever it is, or, you know, e-commerce, to help them build that whole process, get the right people in place. One thing I think we used to see, which is interesting, is people went from a 3PL to another 3PL to another 3PL, and you had a kind of circle of people moving around that industry. And of course, if you always do what you've always done, you always get what you always got. Now, what we're seeing with the leaders is they're taking people out of industry to help them build the right propositions and really understand the market. And that combination of having the right skill sets is enabling them to have a different level of conversation with their customers. So I think, you know, it is a people game in logistics, and you've seen an investment in logistics. And actually, I think the career of going into logistics is seen in a much higher light than previously. You know, supply chain is not sort of a, you know, the child in the corner anymore. It's seen as a really good career path. So I think some of those things together mean that the quality of people in those organizations is allowing them to create a better differentiated product for them, but also, you know, it's helping their customers, and that's why you're seeing outsourcing growing. I think it's 7% year on year globally.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You know, going back to kind of some of the trends, is this probably no greater buzz in the industry today than omnichannel, right?
Yeah.
Certainly Internet of Things is another, you know, emerging trend out there. I mean, how are these trends impacting, you know, the technology needs of 3PL?
Well, I think if we take, you know, digital commerce, omnification, whatever you want to call it, that's just creating fantastic opportunity for logistics providers, because it's just a complex problem. You know, are you fulfilling in store? Are you fulfilling, are you doing drop ship? Are you fulfilling in a DC? Can you share the inventory for a DC? If you're a small retailer, having a dedicated one is very expensive. You're seeing logistics providers creating multi-user or multi-client e-commerce DCs, which means that the retailers gain from critical mass in terms of the parcel rates and all of those things. Because actually, what we do know about e-commerce is it's not particularly profitable commerce. It costs money. And so, you know, the better value that they can get in driving cost and increasing service, you know, that's really important for the retailer, but of course it creates great opportunity for the logistics service provider. So I think that's been a huge driver of the growth of logistics companies. Internet of Things, we're early in that. What it's doing is providing a lot of data that you can take actions with. So, you know, if you take our transportation solution, we're now getting real-time inventory, real-time information that's allowing us to make better decisions around inventory, about trucks, and about where they should be and when. So if we're able, you know, 2 hours out to warn the distribution center that the delivery will be delayed because of a certain situation, without the need for, you know, expensive geofencing and quite the, you know, sort of technology that's traditionally been used, and maybe reroute it, maybe take inventory from stock rather than flowing it through that was the plan. You know, all those things can mean that the service levels are improved as a result of taking that sort of data. Now, again, that drives you know, away from developing proprietary solutions, because really you need to be able to connect into Google Cloud, into other platforms, and that's where JDA comes in. We're taking a lot of this data, we're creating, you know, actionable events out of those and feeding that into the logistics service providers. You know, it is early, but I think it's going to be something that's going to grow very, very rapidly.
Yeah, no, I you know, the opportunities that Internet of Things and you know, what's happening with omnichannel, certainly as we've been talking about throughout, you know, really opens the door to a lot of opportunities for, you know, logistics service providers. It's just a question of, you know, number one, are they ready for it, and do they have the right capabilities to respond effectively to it? And I think equally important is our customers, you know, looking to their 3PL partners, you know, to be critical partners in that area. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think that's why you're seeing this consolidation. If you're a retailer in, you know, France, and you want to move into a new market, okay, you know, the obvious thing, one thing you've got to do is have some fulfillment channel. So if the partner that's supporting you in France has a capability to support you in United Kingdom, America, you know, that's great. That's an easier thing. They know the business model. They know the template. That's why I think, you know, someone like XPO acquired, you know, Norbert Dentressangle in Europe. I mean, it's an obvious, you know, thing for them to do. And so I think those sorts of things, we're seeing trade internationally growing very rapidly. And so logistics service providers are uniquely placed to be able to help companies do that, and that's a really, really strong value proposition that they have there for the ones that can do it.
Right. So, I mean, again, you don't have to name specific names, but I mean, can you, you know, kind of share with us some examples of how, you know, leading 3PLs are leveraging, you know, technology to, you know, differentiate themselves in the market and meet the needs of their clients?
Sure. I mean, you know, in the public domain, recently we were involved with DHL in Singapore. They've just opened their advanced regional center, the ARC, which, you know, they've heavily invested in robotic automation to give, you know, lower operating costs for their customers. And that's pretty unique. You know, typically asset-light companies, you know, are not wanting to make this investment. But in that specific example, you know, they've taken that move to create differentiation, make a proactive investment to the benefit of their customers. And in fact, you know, the idea is they'll be able to win business over time ahead of their competitors because they'll have lower operating costs from that investment. So, you know, that's an example of, you know, one of the bigger companies out there. We've been doing some trials with augmented reality picking using glasses, so you're seeing some of those things, and as part of that process, you know, we did see an improvement in pick rates. We've got our innovation labs actually in Montreal, and that's where we do some partnering on just some, you know, crazy ideas on big data or whatever it is with some of our logistics partners and use that to try things out. So, you know, I think that's something that we didn't see a few years ago. You know, you can go into a logistics company now and they'll have an innovation center, they'll have some technology there. It's become a critical component of their kind of toolkit that they need to have in order to win business and be successful.
No, absolutely. I mean, I always joke. I mean, 3PLs, you know, often get a bad rap for technology, but I often tell folks is, you know, some 3PLs actually have more, you know, IT people and you know, software folks than many software companies do themselves, right? So, you know, particularly the very large 3PLs, you know, have that. And I think you're absolutely right. I see the same thing where, particularly from the end customer standpoint, they're looking to their 3PLs as a primary source of technology. So in many ways, they're looking at their 3PLs as quote unquote cloud providers of technology. And that's kind of, in many ways, I mean, technology has always been part of the value proposition of 3PLs. But, you know, one of the predictions I made, you know, at the end of last year was that in some ways the value proposition was going to get, you know, flipped, where instead of it being logistics services, you know, powered by technology or enabled by technology, more and more it's looking in many cases like it's outsourced technology solutions enabled by logistics services, right? Because a lot of what the customers are looking for is that data, that insight into what's happening with their supply chains so that they can make smarter decisions faster. So for the end customer, you know, having that data, the insight, you know, timely, accurate, complete, is as valuable as the actual movement of product and storage of product that 3PLs are providing. Do you agree?
Yes, and in fact, we do have a couple of situations where I guess it's gone to the ultimate level where, because of some of our 3PL customers having so much experience implementing our solutions, we actually have a couple of end customers using them for their program management to implement our warehouse management solution, and they're not actually running the operation that they're putting it into. So, you know, that's taking it to the, you know, completely different level. Effectively, I guess they've competed with our services team to do that implementation, but it actually has been very collaborative and it's been beneficial to the customer. They've brought best practice, they've helped them, and obviously, you know, why is the 3PL made that investment? They want to have a tighter relationship over time with that company and develop, you know, solutions that mean they can be, you know, operating their transport, operating their logistics operations. It's, you know, you can see it as being a very successful extension of the resources that they have. So, yeah, you know, I think that's unusual, but I do see it happening more often, actually. So we'll see.
Yeah, great example. I've seen data points or, you know, anecdotes of similar types of situations where, you know, 3PLs in some cases have been developing apps for their clients, have nothing to do with what they do, but because they have the technical know-how and they have some of the foundational data that's required, you know, they've taken the lead role in providing that kind of service to their clients as well. You know, Andrew, we're kind of running short on time here, so I've got just a couple of more questions. So kind of just looking ahead, I mean, where are your 3PL, you know, customers taking you? I mean, what types of solutions or services are they looking for, you know, moving forward?
So I think we're seeing a couple of trends. We're seeing in manufacturing, we're seeing moving more upstream, more into kind of the postponement activities, actually running plants, controlling and managing inventory. That was talked about a few years ago and it didn't really take on apart from maybe in the technology sector. But we're actually seeing that increasingly across a wide range of verticals. And for us, that means that we're starting to deploy, you know, some of our planning solutions with those logistics customers, and they're investing in the type of skills you need because that is a pretty specialist area. So we're seeing some of that starting to grow. The other area we keep talking about, the omnichannel space, but really, I mean, that's presenting huge opportunities, whether it be around creating, you know, dark stores, drive-through picking areas, you know, all sorts of complex operations relating to merging retail and e-commerce in a single facility. Those sorts of challenges, the logistics providers are best placed to solve. So we're seeing increasingly the big e-commerce operations being operated by service partners versus being operated as an in-house operation. And that's a shift, because there was a view that said, the retailers were saying, we want our staff to be the last people that touch a product, much like you do in a store. So we want our people to be packing goods. And we're seeing a shift from that and a recognition that actually OSPs can bring expertise and some other things to bear and still provide the right level of quality in terms of how they pick, pack and ship. So they'll be the two things that I think really stand out. And transportation, I think it is becoming more and more globalized. We've been saying that, but we're really seeing positive investment being made around improving truck fill, real conscience around, the environment and all of those things. So again, we're seeing strong demand for transportation solutions, and again, that being used as a service for end customers to help them better manage their service levels and costs.
Great. Now, in the 3PL industry, I mean, historically, I think the lion's share, if you will, of the kind of the software investments have been kind of in the WMS and the TMS space. It sounds like, as you mentioned, as 3PLs are expanding their services into, let's say, more manufacturing oriented operations, that's creating demand for some of the manufacturing solutions. Are you seeing that you continue to expand as well into, let's say, some of the more planning, supply chain planning, demand planning, S&OP, other aspects of kind of the broader supply chain footprint? Are you seeing growing demand there, or is that something that's kind of slowly but moving in that direction?
No, definitely. I think if you look at a number of the pieces of business that we're working through at the moment, a number of them are relating to planning as well as transport and warehousing. And ostensibly, we're seeing that in what I would call emerging markets, where there is less maturity in terms of that space. So it creates an opportunity for the logistics provider to say, not only can I help you, pick, pack, and ship and move the products around, I'll actually help you manage your inventory. In fact, I'll help you decide where that inventory should be, where we should locate the warehouses, etc. So they're really doing a whole kind of end-to-end supply chain consulting plan and then execute process with these companies. So that's one thing that we've definitely seen a lot of.
Great insight there. As a way to wrap up, Andrew, I mean, what attributes will define success, for 3PLs moving forward in this changing supply chain world? And, what questions should 3PLs ask themselves to assess whether, they're on the right path?
Well, I think differentiation and agility are the two key words that come to mind. Why me? If you're in that commodity piece that we were talking about earlier, between the two dumbbells, you're in a bad place. You're just going to be low margin and going to struggle. So you need to make sure you really understand what that offer is, and that you've got the people that are going to go and explain and articulate that, and then clearly execute against it. Agility, around you, I think it's really around the technology side, that you can't just live off ancient proprietary systems and just do it at the least cost anymore. That's just not acceptable. So you do have to have a program of investment in technology, and having the right people who really understand that, because they've got to be talking to the end customer. You can't go into a retailer and not understand their problems around digital commerce and all of those things and think that they're going to choose you as a partner. So having not only good technology capabilities and the ability to easily integrate to those things, you also need really strong technologists and a good technology partner, and I'd like to think that JDA is one of those, to support them as a logistics service provider, articulate clearly their proposition to their customer, and then again, making sure they execute against that.
Great words of advice and food for thought there, Andrew. We're out of time. Just like I always say at the end of all our programs, we always just manage to, scratch the surface on these topics. But I think you provided some great, insight into what's happening in the 3PL market today, kind of what the challenges and opportunities that they're facing, and kind of what the road ahead looks like. So Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
And I want to thank all of you who joined us live today. We didn't get any questions, but if you do have a question for Andrew and you're watching this program on demand, you can post a question via talkinglogistics.com. You can find the episode there. And I'm sure if you post a question or comment there, Andrew will be more than happy to respond via that medium. So again, thank you all for joining us today and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.